Well, we're back. Welcome to Hawk Off the Press. I am your brand new host, Madison Ritzik. I am the new Iowa Athletics beat reporter here for the Gazette. And it's so great to finally show my face and like you guys can have a chance to put a face to a name. It's lovely. And I am joined here by our columnist, Michael Oss, and we are getting ready to talk some Hawkeye football because, well, it's that time of season, it's that time of year.
That's the first time the word lovely has ever been used on a Gazette Sports podcast.
Well, you know, I try to keep things different, try to keep people on their toes. Different words, new
No,
synonyms, you know.
it's delightful.
There you go. We can just keep coming up with adjectives as we're talking today.
Why don't you tell the people about yourself before we dive into this? Because you are a new face and voice here, and let people know about you.
Absolutely. So hello to everybody who maybe hasn't had a chance to see my face on social media or has just really been reading my bylines. My name is Madison. I always tell people if you see me around, please call me Maddie. I joke that, you know, if you call me Madison, I'm gonna immediately think I'm in trouble. But in all honesty, I'm originally from the Washington, D.C. area, a little bit closer to Dulles Airport, if you might know where that is. So it's a little outside the city on the Northern Virginia side, but I've lived on the East Coast my entire life. I was born and raised in the DC area and did my undergrad at James Madison in Harrisonburg, Virginia, so about 2 hours south of DC. And then just wrapped up my master's degree at Syracuse University up in upstate New York. So I have been kind of living up and down the East Coast. I made a stop in Columbia, South Carolina about 2 years ago and covered South Carolina football, men's basketball. And I've covered college sports now. This will be my seventh season covering college athletics in some capacity. It'll be my fifth covering college football. But I am so excited to get an opportunity to cover the Big Ten. I haven't done Big Ten football or honestly too much of Big Ten athletics before. So I am embracing this brand new challenge on top of, you know, just moving to the Midwest and the culture shock that is moving halfway across the country at just 23 years old. So that's a little bit about me. I love getting an opportunity to do a podcast. It's been a while since I've gotten to have a weekly podcast and get to not just write about all things Hawkeye athletics, but to actually get to sit down and discuss it. I'm really looking forward to that opportunity too.
And you had never stepped foot in Iowa until you applied for this job, right?
Correct.
What do you think about it? I mean, what do fresh eyes think about all of this?
It's not what I thought it would be in a good way. Like my first experience in the Midwest was my like 2 hour layover in St. Louis before coming to Iowa after I accepted the job. I had visited this area for I was here for what, like 3 days, like a weekend. It was like a long weekend basically. Shortly after I had accepted the job, just to go apartment hunting, and so I was able to go and see Iowa City. I got to look around Cedar Rapids. I went to Kinnick Stadium so I could see, you know, where all of the stuff is going to be happening throughout this
So
football
you were on
season.
that thrill ride between Cedar Rapids and Iowa City on I-380.
Correct. Yes. So I'm slowly getting used to
Man,
making that drive.
that'll be nice when that's finished in the year 3000.
Listen, as somebody who's used to a lot of highway construction, it's not it does make me feel like I'm like a little closer to home. That and the
Yeah,
data
good.
centers that were announced in Cedar Rapids, my like hometown is Ashburn, Virginia, and I feel like it was at one point that like 90% of like iCloud data that runs throughout the country goes through Ashburn's data centers. Like our entire neighborhood is just filled with data centers. So those don't faze me, thankfully.
That
But
sounds like a
the
science fiction movie to me.
a little bit actually. You're not, it's a lot of big white tall warehouses kind of just around a bunch of residential neighborhoods.
Do you think of this team you're going to be covering?
I'm really interested about this team. I think the thing that is going to be the most intriguing is with Mark Gronowski coming to this team in the off season and then having that surgery. It's a Like no one's really seen a lot of him outside of his FCS highlights. And granted, he's got some highlights, but I am going to be so interested to see if this is truly the year that Iowa has a quarterback that can lead this Hawkeye team to, you know, what its ceiling could be. I would be so intrigued to see how he'll do. He's played in this stadium before on the other side. So he was telling me on Tuesday, he's looking forward to, you know, seeing what it's like with the sold out stadium where the fans are rooting for him and not necessarily rooting against him. I think that's probably the thing I'm looking forward to the most, is just actually seeing Gronowski play in a game setting and how good he is. Because everyone has been talking about how big of a get this was for Iowa. And I'm so interested to see if he's going to live up to the potential that he has.
Yeah, I think that that's a sentiment shared by Hawkeye fans and the rest of the media. And probably the players. I mean, I'm sold on the guy. You can't be 49-6 in FCS football as a starter and not be a winner and not be really good. And he doesn't need to explain what he's done. He's got 49-6. He's got 2 championship rings. He has a National Player of the Year award. He has FCS version of the Heisman. He's done it. He's got over 10,000 yards passing. Iowa hasn't had a 2,000-yard passer since 2019. This is going to be almost culture shock, I think. If he drops back 15, 16 times Saturday, completes a dozen for 200 yards, and gets the ball downfield with any kind of success. And that sounds crazy to most people, but the forward pass, I think, is going to be back.
That would be music to a lot of Hawkeye fans' ears. And, you know, on the topic of having those passing yards, obviously, who's going to catch the ball? And the receiving core this season, Kirk Ferentz has been pretty high on the receiving core since I've gotten here. Pretty much every press conference and every time we've talked to him since I've gotten here, you know, he's mentioned something about this receiving core has improved. You know, we have individual players that are super consistent. Sam Phillips, the Chattanooga transfer that joined in the spring, he climbed atop the depth chart. He's one of the starting receivers. And So I am not only excited to see what's going to happen with Gronowski and how he's going to perform, but also how the receivers might actually get involved, because a lot of Hawkeye fans have been wanting more out of this receiving core. So I'm going to be intrigued to see how Gronowski might kind of be the boat, the tide that lifts all the boats, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of the reason Iowa hasn't had great receiving production is it's had very ordinary at best quarterback play. And I hate talking in those terms because I don't like belittling any college players unless they're, you know, pickpockets or jaywalkers. But what you just said about a rising tide, a good quarterback makes for better receivers. And I think the talent's there. Iowa doesn't need a superstar receiver. It needs 5 or 6 guys who are competent. And they're probably there. And then you've got 2 tight ends who have, I think that they've shown what they can do. Addison Estrenga's really good. I mean, he's the next in the long lineage of great Iowa tight ends, I believe. And then Zach Ortworth doesn't have a lot of catches to his name, but he made big catches when he made catches. So that's always been a key position for Kirk Ferentz Iowa teams. I think I look for that to continue, but I think that we're going to see a lot more games where the leading receiver is a wide receiver, which is the way it should be.
Yeah, that's something that I think is, again, going to be music to a lot of Hawkeye fans' ears. I think the big takeaway, more than anything else, and you and I were just talking about this, Mike, is the fact that, you know, the ceiling for Iowa has really risen with this idea of the offense being a lot stronger than it's been in past seasons. There's a potential that maybe Iowa hasn't had in the last couple seasons. I mean, you said it yourself, you know, it's 2019 was the last time you had a quarterback that was really showing up and putting on those numbers of what, you know, an FBS or a Power 4 quarterback should do, at least the standard of it, that is. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the thing that is going to be grabbing the most attention on Saturday, because when you have that first opponent in Albany, a team that I think is going to be okay in the grand scheme of CAA football.
The game's a joke.
But it's not necessarily an opponent that Iowa's going to bat an eye at.
No. And I mean, look, everybody plays games like these, just about everybody. This is an FCS opponent, and it's not a good one. Last year I opened with a 40-0 win over Illinois State. These are bye games. They're foregone conclusions. They're automatic victories. They're easing into the season. This is not Ohio State against Texas. Okay. But what I think we'll have to do, even in a blowout win, is it's going to have to throw the ball 20 or 25 times because you're going to wait until Iowa State to have experience in the passing game. I don't think so. You got to get going now with you got to start using your package now. And so I think that in that regard, Saturday's game will be interesting in terms of a competitive battle. No.
Yeah, I don't expect this to be. I think anybody would be shocked and honestly more so concerned if this was a remotely close game at any point. I think this is where we really might see, final decisions made on who's winning that left tackle battle, who's going to be getting more reps at receiver, who's going to be starting X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you're going to start to see those decisions be made, is against the Great Danes on Saturday, because this is an opportunity for them to actually be able to tackle and actually be able to make these big plays. And aside from, inner squad scrimmages, no one's got that opportunity yet. And I will say, and this is just somebody, this is the perspective of somebody who's getting used to the schedule and things like that. It is really intriguing to me that, Iowa and a bunch of other teams do this too. It's not just a Hawkeye thing, but Iowa's playing this bye game to start the year, and then they go straight into Cy-Hawk week next week, because that's likely going to be a top 25 matchup. And, from a preparation standpoint, I'm intrigued to see what they're going to do in terms of what kinds of plays they're going to run. They're going to want to pass the ball because they're going to want to see what the receivers look like. They're going to want to see what Mark does. But at the same time, how much is Kirk Ferentz and Tim Lester willing to give away on film right out of the gate? I think that's the question, because after this week, you've got one other game against UMass. And when you look at the rest of the schedule, a lot of these home games are tough opponents. And so I'm going to be really interested to see how many repeat plays we'll end up having, particularly with that receiving room, because I really doubt they're going to want to do anything really fancy or complicated that would end up on tape for Iowa State and beyond to see this early in the year.
No, it'll be plain vanilla, I would think. But like I said, you're still going to have to throw, but they'll get three running backs, probably a dozen carries apiece. They'll get 500 yards plus, assuming that, that might be hard because they may not get the ball at their own 25-yard line very often. But they'll have a lot of yards per play. I'll predict that and feel very safe doing it. And I think that they'll get what they want to get out of this game. And, then the season begins. But, Saturday, good weather, good tailgating, the band plays, blah, 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 blah. And away we go.
Listen, I'll take it. I'll take this kind of a game to start the year because it lets me ease into it too. Just selfishly, I don't mind that. Just having an opportunity to see the experience my first wave and all of the fun things that come with this experience, and then starting in Ames in week two, then things get real really fast.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, I don't enjoy this other than the fact you can start writing your story at halftime, but. Everybody does it almost, and there are a lot of bad games this week, and they start Thursday night. So Iowa gets it's the first of two, because UMass isn't going to be much better in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But the reason why so many teams are bowl eligible isn't because of cockeyed mathematics, it's because teams schedule games like this.
Right.
But for Iowa to go to a truly good bowl game, it's got to beat some good teams.
Well, and they'll have opportunities to play some good teams later in the season. They'll host Oregon. They'll host Penn State. They'll go out to USC. They'll have an opportunity to make some noise, if you will, later on in this year. It's just a matter of, is the team going to, you know, perform well in those environments?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, breaking down the schedule, I think it's an interesting schedule. Fun schedule for the home fans. I can't remember a better home schedule than, and I don't know if I have this in the correct order, but Indiana, Penn State, Minnesota, Oregon, and Michigan State's in there too. Michigan State's not so good.
You were right on the money with that. Nice job.
But those other four are you've got three teams that are ranked very high, and then Minnesota, which won here 2 years ago. And people here are still bitter about the way that happened. So that's a great home schedule once you get into October. And then there are some road games that are, I would say right now, coin flips. And you mentioned USC. There's Wisconsin, which I think ought to be better than it was last year. I would think it's almost a certainty. And there's the end of the season game in Nebraska. And you can't even take the game at Rutgers lightly because they've got a good coach in Schiano, and it's a Friday night. Yeah, Iowa's played very well there in the past, but Friday night can be weird. It was weird for Iowa last year at UCLA. And so the Big Ten schedule is chock full of potential potholes, but I also think it's chock full of potential winnable games for a good veteran team that has strengths in a lot of areas where I think you really need to have strengths.
Yeah, I would agree with that sentiment. I think the first game outside of maybe Iowa State in week two that's really going to put this team to the test is, in my opinion, I'm looking at Indiana as a huge game and potentially a major, you know, I guess, checkpoint in the season for this Hawkeye team. It's homecoming weekend. It was sold out months ago. So you know that it's going to be a packed game. Kurt Cignetti took that team to the college football playoff last year. They're returning a couple big players, including Aiden Fisher, who was right at the top of tackles in the conference last year. And he's got one more year. And I would expect that he's going to put up some pretty similar numbers this season. And so I feel like that game is going to be the one where we really have the potential to see what this team can do. And that's, mm-hmm. that's a game where if Mark Gronowski is going to, you know, put on a show for Hawkeye fans against a quality opponent, that Indiana game might be really telling.
Oh yeah. And Indiana has another outstanding quarterback, transfer named Mendoza, who played at Cal last year. Really good. And they've got a lot of players back who did great things last year. So, yeah. And then their preseason ranking is, I think they're 12, 13, 14, depending on who you believe. Because as much as some people questioned if they were for real during the season last year, now I think they're getting the benefit of the doubt. It's like, okay, that was a terrific first season, and they've got terrific talent returning. So, okay, you got Indiana. I'm not going to do a game by game here, but just the home games. Oregon's loaded. And then you look at Penn State. And Penn State has, oh my gosh, one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Probably the best running back combination in the country. And their units are almost all ranked in the top 10 in the nation. They are loaded. And so it'll be very interesting when they come here. I predict that Iowa will get either Oregon or Penn State. I'm not going to say both. But I just think that they'll have the arsenal and the atmosphere to win one of those two games. If I'm right, then it's how many of the others can they pop? And how big can this thing be? And I think if they played Indiana tomorrow, I'd pick Iowa. But I wouldn't put money on it.
Yeah, and I think that's where I would probably agree with a lot of what you're saying there, Mike, just because you look at that Penn State roster and it's insane. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I was joking with a friend of mine who's a Penn State grad, and I told him, I was like, this almost looks like if you took a fantasy team of college
Yeah.
football players and you put them on a fantasy, like that's what that team looks like right now. And it's insane, the talent level and just
Their number
the
two running back is better than the number one running back at 98% of the other teams.
Right, exactly. And so it's just the depth and the talent level is insane. And I really do think a lot of these home games for Iowa are going to be close. I think every game aside from, this weekend against Albany and the UMass game is going to be 1 to 2 score games. If they're going to be close, it's going to be coming down to the fourth quarter final drive. And to me, that sounds great. It might be a little stressful trying to, get a story in on deadline to make sure that, my content's ready for everyone that wants to read it. But I think for a fan of the sport and a fan of college football, and honestly, just to see a team kind of progress throughout the length of a season, you're looking at this home schedule in particular, and there's really not a lot that you can't get excited about.
Well, the Vegas number for Iowa for wins is 7.5, seven and a
Ooh,
half. And that's, I think
okay.
that's the same number as the previous 2 years. So that's an indication of how people, professional people who do that for a living are looking at Iowa's schedule. I mean, at Iowa State, that's tough duty. And then you name so many of the other games we've named, it's tough duty. But I think they eclipse 7.5, and I think that they're going to finish closer to 9 or 10 than 6 or 7. I like it. I like them better than I've liked them in a long time, maybe in the last 10 years, for just for three basic reasons. I'm not going to mention the defense because that's been a constant. And I don't see slippage this year. The linebackers are new, yes, but if you look at the 11 guys that are going to start and the top five or six subs, I don't see any drop off really. I mean, you're losing two fantastic linebackers in Nick Jackson and Jay Higgins, yes, but your front four are really good. You've got talent all over the secondary. I think they'll be fine on defense. I
Yeah, I
think the
don't think
defense,
there's not a side of there that side of the ball. I don't think there's a lot of people that we're really concerned
they
about.
just have to be good. They just have to be their typical good self, which is
Right.
a national top 20 defense, which is pretty good. So then, three quick things, and then I'll stop rambling. One's Gronowski. Okay. Two is that this will be their best offensive line in quite some time, or it should be. You've got two guys who are preseason first team Big Ten. In the Brian Ferentz era, which wasn't very long ago, the offensive lines did not get it done via or because of recruiting mistakes and injuries. They were substandard Iowa offensive lines. I think that it's now a prototype Iowa offensive line. And the third thing is the special teams. They've been very good the last 5 years. I mean, you had perhaps the best punter in program history, and that includes a legend from the 80s in Reggie Roby. Torrey Taylor's was otherworldly, I should say. But take your kicker, your punter, and your kick returner. Stevens, the Aussie, punter, Dakin, and Weech and the punt returner, they're all elite. You know? And when you've got three weapons like that on special teams, how many wins does that make the difference for in a season? I mean, special teams have made differences in a lot of wins for them over the last 5 years when their offense was not good. So if you've got those kind of special teams on a roster with a better offense, I think that there's a really high ceiling. And I'm not a Pollyanna, as a lot of people who are listening to this know. This team has not entertained me in a while. But I really feel like this one could if the health issue is not a major problem.
Yeah, I think the injury bug is going to be the one thing that a lot of people are going to be concerned about. Behrens has reported that, you know, aside from a couple soft tissue issues here and there, and everyone's been practicing that needs to be practicing, though, at least this past week. I know TJ Hall just came back from a bone bruise. Behrens said that he was clear during the last week of camp, so he's been practicing. Same for Washington Jr. in the running back room and all of that kind of stuff. So you're looking at players who might have had a couple minor injuries. They're all back getting reps in. As long as they stay healthy, you look at this roster, and I'm with you. It is a very exciting opportunity that Iowa has this season. So that is a big concern. Going back to special teams really quickly, I cannot tell you, just from the number of football games that I've seen in my lifetime, the number of, like, one play could have changed an outcome on special teams, a made kick, a blocked punt, or just recovering the football, or just having a good punt or kick returner. Mm-hmm. And I know Ferentz hasn't necessarily nailed down who is going to be that primary punt and kick returner this season. That's, again, one of those things where this Albany game is going to be really telling, because the reality is Albany's probably going to be doing a lot of three and outs this weekend. So Ferentz will get an opportunity to throw in a couple of different people, see how everyone does, and go from there. But yeah, if special teams can really click, then, and it sounds like they might, it sounds like they really might, then that could make a huge difference in some of these big home matchups.
Oh, yeah.
That could change the trajectory of the season.
I mean, if Stevens doesn't make the last second bomb against Nebraska last year, maybe they lose and it's a really lousy end of the season. He has made 8 field goals of 50 plus in his career.
Yeah.
That's a weapon. That's a force, you know? Yeah. He had a little slump in the second half of his sophomore season, and instead of falling apart, as many kickers have been known to do, he came back tougher and better. When you got a guy you can count on from 52 yards, you know, dang. We got so used to Torrey Taylor, we didn't think that a freshman could come in and, you know, come close. But Dakin, the fellow Aussie, did. He didn't have Taylor's numbers, but compared to the average, yeah, very good, very good. And he's got 3 years left. So, you know, I don't want to beat this to death. But I like to hang on to summer as long as possible. I'm in no hurry for football season like some people, but I think I'm kind of ready now.
Yeah, I and maybe this is just the new kid jitters that I've got, but I'm excited. I think the optimism around the program is definitely kind of it definitely makes things interesting.
And there's not the expectations of gotta win, favorably.
Right.
They're picked for 7th in the Big Ten by a panel of 40 media people.
Right.
And the magazines, if you follow those, and I only maybe glance at them occasionally, but I think middle of the pack is where they're picked. Because it's a pretty loaded league.
It is.
I don't know. I mean, you've got a national championship contender in Penn State, Ohio State could be there. Oregon could be there. You can't discount Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, which had a wonderful season last year.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a gap between those 6 I just mentioned in Iowa? Well, maybe with the top 3, but after that, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So that means there are a lot of possibilities. And there are bad possibilities too, of course. But it just feels, you know, this business of not being picked high. Iowa went 12-0 10 years ago. Not one of the 40 people who voted on that Big Ten poll picked Iowa to win its division, which was the little brother division. All 40 people took someone else, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Nebraska. Iowa ran the table. And they did so partly because they had an NFL quarterback and they had the things, they had the offensive line we're talking about now. And things fell into place. And they beat a couple of really good teams along the way. So I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm just saying it's possible. I think it's a very real possibility that this is a very good season. And I don't want to beat this into the ground. But look, it's August, though, whatever. If you can't be optimistic now, why bother?
Yeah, I think that's the fun part about the preseason is that you do get to kind of have a little bit of, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? In both a positive and a negative way. But Iowa being picked seventh might be one of the best things that could have happened to this Hawkeye team in the preseason, because that kind of lets everybody else that, you know, cares about a preseason poll, they might bat their eye. And that gives this team a little bit of a, I don't want to say chip on their shoulder, because I feel like that's almost too simple to say, but in the sense of it takes that extra pressure off them. There's no standard they have to reach because they have to win, like you mentioned. They literally just get to go out there and just be themselves. We get to see what Gronowski could do, and he's not going to care. He's going to go and try and throw 400 yards on Saturday, if that, then maybe more, who knows. But I do think that that is a huge benefit, and I do think that that opens the ceiling even more, because it allows fans to, you know, let their wildest dreams go crazy a little bit more. I don't know. I find that fun. I like enjoying the fun parts of imagining what the best case scenario could be, or sometimes in a not so great light for the pessimists, what the worst case scenario could be. Because the reality is, you know, yes, there's legitimate excitement around this program. Yes, they have a legitimate chance to be a very good team. But who knows? We could be talking about this in November. We're like, wow, what idiots we were. And being a totally different side of the scenario here. And that's what makes August fun. Especially for us, when we get to just sit and just debrief and chat about all this.
Right. And the only prediction that's I think is valid is that things are going to happen we didn't see coming.
Yes.
It happens every year. Every year. And for better or worse, those are the things I enjoy the most. You know, all I ever ask for is a good story. So surprise me, give me one, and then let's write it.
Yeah, there you go. Doesn't, not too many necessarily like preferences, just give me a good story. And
oh, and don't play overtime.
Oh, yeah. As much as night games can be fun, I do want to go to bed. I want to go to bed at a decent hour. I may be 23 years old, but I don't want to be up until 4 a.m. writing. But that's a personal preference.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
Yeah. Listen. Sometimes I just need to go to bed for a little bit earlier than others.
Sometimes you need to get in by 3:30.
Exactly. No, but it's always fun to be able to sit and kind of have an opportunity to play the guessing game and see how right we are, how wrong we'll be.
Let's do it real quick. What's their regular season record?
Oh, okay. So if I have to pick their regular season record, I'm going to say 8-3.
They play 12.
12. I can't do math. What am I talking about? there's your spoiler alert. I can't do math. I'm gonna stick with 8 wins. I'm gonna stick with 8 wins.
Okay.
No, so, I don't know who those 8 wins will be, though.
I'm tempted to go 10, but I'm gonna say 9-3.
Okay.
I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know which 9 they are. I think they'll beat Oregon. I'll say that right now on August whatever. They beat Oregon.
On August 27th. Everyone write that down.
I have no idea what's gonna happen at Ames or a lot of other places. But I say Oregon's in trouble.
Interesting. Okay. I wish I could say that I could pick a game. I don't know why, but the Penn State game just feels different. There's just something about that game. I keep looking at that and I'm like, I feel like that game might just be chaotic in a good way or a bad way. Who knows? But
yeah. I mean, historically, Penn State has had a lot of bumps in Kinnick Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some crazy memorable games there.
Yeah. But no, I'm sticking with 8 wins. Apparently, I can't do math and count to 12. But it's all fine. I don't know where a 9th win would come from. And I think that's where the difference is. And that's what I was kind of sitting on was which game would be the difference between 8 and 9 wins. And I'm not sure which one it is. But I will absolutely welcome it with open arms if they win 9 or more games, 100%. And I don't know. This there's so much, as much as the season is exciting, there's just so much of uncertainty too. And I feel like I say that with every football season, but this one stumped me for some reason. I wish I could explain it more than I just feel stumped, Mike, but I can't.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. That leaves like I said, it leaves a lot of blank space that you'll have to fill in.
Yes, that's what the fun part is being able to fill in those blank spaces.
Well, welcome, Mike.
Thank you. I was just about to say, thanks for coming on and chatting with me. And we appreciate everyone that listens and follows along with Hawk Off the Press. Our weekly newsletter comes out every Friday morning. It's a free subscription, and you can like and subscribe to this podcast here, and we will continue posting throughout the regular season and beyond. But for now, thanks for watching.
Not a Gazette subscriber? There's no better time to support local journalism. View our latest deals for print and digital offerings at thegazette.com/subscribe. Stay informed. Be empowered. Subscribe to The Gazette today at thegazette.com/subscribe.